which has been going on for almost 9 months now. The thing that was going to go on for just 3 days, according to a press release from the Russian government, just 3 days into the war, when they said it was all over. So talk about mission accomplished being proclaimed prematurely. But anyway, just yesterday, being the 18th of November, 2022, Russia publicly proposed a truce to the Ukrainians, a brief truce, they said. Now, why would they do that if they felt they're on the roll? Now, the only sort of optimistic reason from a Russian perspective of proposing a truce is that you think you can tell the security and renege on that truce and attack them when they're not anticipating it. It's just a kind of low-down, dirty trick that I'm afraid Russia always engages in. I mean, obviously, they're good and honest Russians, but they're plenty of not, and the Russian government is extraordinarily, exceptionally mendacious. Look at the massive-scale cheating in the Olympics. Russians are, 2% of the world's population, but something like 25% of those found to have cheated in the Olympics with doping. And it's all a state-organized scheme. Must have been going on for decades. Anyway, the Ukrainian president, he rejected this suggested truce, so it would only exacerbate the situation, because the Russians would simply use it to regroup, to bring in more munitions, whatever it is, prepare for more offensives, to beef up their defences, and indeed their strengthen their fortifications in Crimea, because with the liberation of Kherson, Crimea is a bit more under threat. Now, and it would be a very serious undertaking for the Ukrainians to try and cross the river Dnipro in the face of Russian opposition. So I don't think they're going to try that one anytime soon, not for several months at least. So President Zelensky correctly said that a permanent peace can only come if Russia ends its aggression. If they withdraw now, the war will be over today. Now, they couldn't complete the pullout today. They could make the statement today, public statement. They could complete the pullout in within a week. Just drive east. Take your equipment with you. The United States said, well, it's up to Ukraine to decide whether they wish to open negotiations with Russia, but the Ukrainians are not having any sort of parley. Now, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that's the head of the U.S. military, is General Mark Milley, and he said a couple of weeks ago that as Ukraine has driven forward, as they've accomplished these great successes in various battles, that perhaps now is the moment in which to start negotiations with the Moscow regime with the objective of bringing the conflict to an end, because Ukraine's in a relatively strong position. Is it going to get better than this? Milley said something perhaps rather unhelpful. He said it's improbable that the Ukrainians will be able to drive all the Russian forces out in the foreseeable future. And I concur with him, but doesn't that rather dampen Ukrainian morale? And I presume that's a bit of a fillip to Russian morale when things are going badly for them, that even the head of the US military says that Ukraine can't win in the short term. Is Russia losing? Why else would they propose this truce? As I say, possibly they're preparing some dirty trick. They sent all those conscripts, whether they supposedly drafted 460,000, it's doubtful they got that many. And about three times that number of Russians have left the country, applying for citizenship in Armenia, Kyrgyzstan. It's been a big boost to the economy of these countries. Armenia's economy is going to grow 13%, about the highest in the world, from Russians moving in there. Those Russians who become Armenian citizens, they could, of course, be drafted into the Armenian army to fight against Azerbaijan, but that's not such a ferocious conflict, such a large-scale conflict as the Russo-Ukrainian conflict, and that's not simply because of the size of the populations involved. You know, 3 million Armenians versus 10 million Azerbaijanis. Russia can continue to sustain this war, can afford to, for about a year and a half. Then they're going to run out of money. Their economy's contracting. Now, I've seen estimates about 4% this year, but I think it's rather considerably higher than that. Their interest rate is high, not that horrendously high, only about 8%. I don't think Russia is losing it, but they're not exactly winning either. They control maybe 15% of Ukrainian territory. Now, some of that, but they've held for 8 years. And the positions in Russia are the real hawks who want to fight to the finish, who think that Russia should use nuclear weapons already. And then they're the sort of moderates in Russia who say, well, can we just end the conflict now, a frozen conflict, and just keep what we've got, not advance from where we are now? But virtually nobody's saying, let's hand back the territory we stole in 2014. I mean, all but the most liberal and dovish people want to retain Crimea, which was seized in 2014. Not so much Donetsk and Luhansk, saying, oh, Russian Crimea. Okay, it was part of Russia, but only for about 200 years. And before that, it's passed through various hands, an independent Tatar country, part of the Ottoman Empire. It's been Greek, you know, part of the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire, as in the Western Roman Empire had it, and so on. So this is preposterous to say that because for a fairly brief slice of time it was Russian, that it ought to belong to the Russian Federation now. So Russia, they're not exactly running out of men. The Ukrainians have suffered quite high casualties as well. The Russian economy is obviously suffering, but, you know, they can sustain this war for quite some time to come. They've expended, that will cause civilian morale to collapse. But it doesn't seem to have broken morale, even if it's lowered it. Remember, of this roughly 40 million Ukrainians, several million have moved the West as refugees, a few million are under Russian occupation, some of them want to be under Russian occupation. So those actually in Ukraine, under the control of the Ukrainian government, is something like 30 million. They've got tents, putting up tents inside houses, sleeping bags, you know, snow suits, absolute zero suits in a few cases, electric generators, and that's what's keeping them going through the winter. But Russia also wants to raise the cost on Western countries of having to provide this subvention to the Ukrainians, because so much of the Ukrainian economy is gone. And that Black Sea Grain Initiative, where Ukraine can export grain, cooking oil, other foodstuffs via the Black Sea, is obviously earning some vital foreign exchange for the Ukrainians. Apart from that, they can't manufacture much or export much. So Russia wants to lower the will of Western countries to pick up the tab, the Ukrainians. And there's already a sign that some Western politicians are fed up of signing these checks. So Western support for Ukraine is reducible, and the Russians have made some inroads on that, slightly fragmenting Western opinion. So it'll fray a bit of just how far people are willing to support Ukraine, just how much money they're willing to pay. Obviously, spook Westerners, terrorizing them with the threat of nuclear weapons. So coming towards a stalemate. But the Ukrainians are still advancing the east, just rather slowly. But by the end of this month, there'll be almost no advance through December, through January, February. It'll start up again because it'll be just so cold. Thank you so much for watching my channel. So please subscribe to me on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.